Settle for nothing less than the truth, because nothing less than the truth will keep your house standing when the storm hits. And there are some storms on the way. Let me tell you, there are some storms on the way. Life in America has not always been the comfy, cozy thing that we think it is here in our recent times, and it probably will not remain that way. But even if it does, one day you check out of here and you stand face to face before Almighty God, and your entire life, every word, every thought, every deed will be laid bare. And if you're not standing on solid ground, you have not seen a storm like that. That storm will crush you. Praise God. But when you base your belief, when you stand upon the Word of God, when you stand and you believe and you do the Word of God and act in faith, there is an empty tomb in Jerusalem that says it is true. It's not opinion, it's fact. You can bank on that, you can stand on that. There is a whole host, multitudes of fulfilled prophecies in Scripture over thousands of years that have come true to the tiniest details in Christ. And those prophecies declare emphatically that it is true, and you can stand on that foundation. There are eyewitnesses in Scripture who wrote the Scriptures, eyewitnesses who saw and felt and beheld the mighty miracles of Christ when He raised the dead and opened blinded eyes and caused the lame to walk, healed lepers, stilled the waves of the sea and said, "Peace be still," and a storm suddenly became calm. Who walked upon the water, who raised the dead. There are eyewitnesses to those miracles who wrote them down in times when people who were also eyewitnesses could have disputed had they not been true, but no one did. And those eyewitnesses testify that our faith is true and it's secure and it stands solidly, it stands firm. Not only that, finally, there is a risen Savior who walked out of that empty tomb, who is alive today, who ascended up to the right hand of God, and all power and authority in heaven and earth has been given to Him. And there are multitudes of us who know Him, who can testify the power that He has put in our life and how He has changed us and how He is, yes, very much alive and very much involved in all of our life. And that risen Savior who now stands at the right hand of God interceding for you and me, His influence and power in our life testifies that this is truth. You can stand on this. Praise God. But when you're walking in darkness, when you're walking in the futility of your own sinful, depraved, carnal, dysfunctional mind, you're walking in darkness, and the end of that path is death. And we talked about this right there at the snow retreat. Not just physical death, spiritual death. That way that seems right to a man brings not only physical death, but ultimate death, spiritual death, separation forever from fellowship with God. We asked the question, Larry asked the question, very, very timely word, brother. And for some of us, this will be a little review. For others, this might sound a little refreshing. We ask the question, what is spiritual death? Well, the Bible says that to have peace with God and fellowship with God is life. To know God and fellowship with Him and walk with Him and have a walk with Him through Jesus Christ is life and peace. But to be at enmity with God, to be under the wrath of God, to not be reconciled with God is death. And that demonstrates and manifests itself not only in this life as we go from chaos to chaos, from crisis to calamity, and we walk about in anxiety and fear and frustration in this life because our life is subject to futility because it's out of kilter with God. Not only that kind of living death while we're on this earth, but the ultimate death, which the Bible calls the second death, eternity in hell. Revelation 21:7, the Lord said, "But the cowardly, the unbelieving, the abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone," which is the second death. And the vast majority of the world is speeding down the path to that destiny. The sexually immoral. You ever have an immoral sexual thought? Sorcerers. That word in the Greek is pharmakia, from which we get our word pharmacy. Yes, drugs, drug abuse. Idolaters. People who base their life and their affections and their purpose and direction in life on something other than God. All liars. Yeah. Murderers, which in Scripture includes everybody who has ever hated their brother or sister. You ever hated somebody? Have you ever been angry at them without a cause? The unbelieving. The cowardly. No, I don't think I'll take a stand for Christ now. I'll do that in a few hours when my buddies have gone away. Wow. And without Christ, that is where the world is going. That is where you and I go without Christ. Not because God is mean, but because that's the kind of people we are and that's what we would deserve. And that's a terrible place to be. Can you imagine having, after having lived your life in frustration and vanity, groping around in the dark all your life looking for truth and not finding it and just numbing the pain by self-destructive behavior, after frustration and vexation, only to die and come to the judgment and be found guilty before God of utter and complete rebellion against Him so that He has no choice but to cast you into hell forever? And deservedly so? That's a horrible fate. To have all your deeds exposed before the all-seeing, all-knowing eye of God? Thank God it doesn't have to be that way. Thank God it doesn't have to be that way. Praise God. We ought to come in here and holler and scream with worship. We ought to come in and dance on the chairs in gratitude before God. We ought to come in here and throw ourselves on the floor prostrate before the altar with joy and gladness and celebration and gratitude that it does not have to be that way because we have been redeemed. We have been rescued. We have been bought with the blood of Jesus Christ, so we don't have to go. Thank God. My sins are real. I don't know about yours. I didn't make them up. They weren't a bad dream that I woke up one day and said, oh, wow, thank God I really didn't do that. No, I really did that. And they were there written in His book. And thank God the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all unrighteousness if we will put our faith and trust in Him and follow Him. Man, we ought to be serious worshipers. How many people in here consider yourself a worshiper of God? How many people consider yourself a serious worshiper of God? Boy, I pray God give me the grace to make me 10 times the worshiper that I am. Because He is so worthy of it that He would have compassion on me and on you and have mercy and grace overflowing, abundant, living, glorious, joyous grace to say, come. Whoever is thirsty, come and drink. I forgive you. Man, I just want to bring the band up here right now, man. Let's just, you know, praise God. I will never forget the day when Jesus Christ came into my life, the evening when He came into my life. And my eyes were open, man. I remember I went into that place, man. My mom dragged me there.